Okay, so I'll do the intro. And welcome to the show. I am Chris Kelly of HeadOfTimes.com, and at this time, I am joined by a very special guest. I spent a whole year trying to get her on this show, so finally she is here. My guest at this time is TNA's Soka Val. Val, how are you doing today?
Yay, how are you guys?
Cold. Extremely cold.
I wish it were cold here. You know, it doesn't really feel like the holidays unless it's cold to me.
Well then, feel free to come to England, right? Because here in England, it's only ever cold, snowing, or wet. You never get sunshine. In fact, that's why I came to Florida to watch Bound for Glory. Not because of wrestling, but because of the sunshine, of course.
Right. Well, I have to say, you know, maybe this is going to sound weird, but when I went to the UK for the first time back in October, I was so thrilled because I thought it would be, you know, cold, and I planned it so it wouldn't be freezing like around Christmas, but I wanted it to be like fall weather. But, you know, down here I don't get to wear, you know, I love hats and coats and layers and things like that. So I packed it all, and I get there, and for the first 3 days, it was so hot. It was sunny. This is how hot it was. I was at the Tower of London doing a tour, and a girl in our group fainted right in front of everyone from heat exhaustion. So that's how hot it was. The rest of the days it was fine. It got a little cooler, but that's how hot it was when I first got to the UK. So I don't know what happened.
Maybe you brought over the weather from Orlando, because here we get
no
sun.
I might have.
But like, you speak of England. Are you actually coming on the UK tour in January?
No, not that I know of. Unfortunately, I would have loved to go, but no. I am trying to plan something. Excuse me. My birthday is at the end of March, and I would like to just go just for my own pleasure and just for my own, you know, tourist, you know, things I like to do over there. So hopefully maybe sometime early next year. But as far as the UK tour for TNA, I haven't been confirmed for that. So no, probably not.
Because I was speaking to someone, and they said that JB's going to that Indian project thing. So he might not be on the UK tour. So I was thinking, yes, bring Soka Val.
I have to say, that would be amazing, but I have to say that the India thing is a little confusing to me because I know that a lot of them just went over right now, and I don't know much about it, truthfully, at all. But I know that a lot of them are over there right now, so I don't know if they're going to be there for, I mean, does that mean they're going back? Or I really have no idea. I guess I should know, but I'm totally clueless on the India excursion.
Yeah, look, like, I was reading something earlier, and like right now over there they got Magnus, they've got like Daivari, they've got quite a few other guys, and I'm not quite sure what India has to offer TNA. I mean, if you want a hot market for wrestling, hello, England, buys TNA a hell of a lot. Come here.
Yeah, but, I mean, you guys are the rowdiest fans over there. I'm not really sure how the India thing came about. I mean, I thought it was really cool when I heard it, and I know that, you know, a lot of the people that are on it, like you said, are not only TNA, you know, regulars, but there's also some people that either were in TNA or that are new to TNA, so I think that's kind of a cool mix.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's a bit bizarre. I mean, I hope it goes well, but it's a bit bizarre for my taste. And personally, I'd love to see it here in England, just so I can go and watch it.
Agreed. I would die to go to England, you know, for any reason, but especially to go, you know, for wrestling is a really, really cool opportunity. I'll be in Germany in February, at the end of February, for Legends of Wrestling Tour, and that's going to be cool because I've never been to Germany at all. Technically, I was in the airport for a few hours once. I think it was Frankfurt, and even that was a cool experience, so to be in Germany at all will be really neat.
I could come to that tour. I mean, I could come to Germany because it's only an hour away on a plane.
Do you have a bicycle you could ride over on?
I could get a bus there. I literally could get a bus there, if need be. That would be bizarre.
Just 5 foot. Why not?
That would be. But, of course, I have actually met you before in person at Bound for Glory. Which was
indeed.
Let's say that was a weird few nights there in Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh, I had such a ball, and I have to say, I don't know if people know, but when I was at the party for it was the reception for all of our VIP guests, you know, because let's face it, Crowley, you're a big friggin' deal, you know, let's face it, you're a VIP. So you're at the VIP party with us, and I walk in and I go, oh my gosh, you're Crowley, because especially being friends with Shelly Martinez, you know, my true blue buddy, shout out to Miss Shelly, I was so excited to see and, you know, recognize you right away, so it was like, it was a bit of a mark out for Mr. Chris Kelly.
Yeah, like, because I was speaking to Shay before, and I was like, Shay, there's no way that Val will know who I am. Okay, yes, she did propose to me one day. Well, my accent. But I don't think she knows who I am. And she was like, yes, you will. I was like, I bet you won't. And you did. I was like, wow. I mean, for me, it's crazy when a best friend knows who I am. That's kind of bad.
You're famous.
Am I? Well.
You are. At least to me. At least to me. I recognized you straight away.
Well, I'm famous per se, but in TNA, not in a good way. Right now, they don't like me because of the whole interview requests. They don't like me right now.
Is that what they're doing? Are they giving some slack to Corelli?
No. What it is, right, is because, of course, I've been trying to book you for a year for an interview. And I spoke to Chris Thomas. And he goes, yeah, send over the snippets of the show and we'll do it. And I had nothing back. I then got an email saying, please do not approach any TNA wrestlers about an interview. I was like, oh, okay. So I don't know why.
Stuff, at least in years past, I used to do a lot more radio interviews. And I think what happens is a lot of times with a big company like that, I think, you know, just the amount of people and everything, a lot of the time somebody will come up to us and say, oh, you know, I tried to do this, or I tried to get you on this show or this or that. And a lot of times we have no idea, you know, who someone has spoken to, or a lot of times we don't even know really who the right person to talk to is. So I think that's what happens with a big company like a TNA or a WWE.
Yeah, but hell, at least we finally got it down. I mean, this year myself, I also got to interview Chris Hemme, which is fantastic. So despite being banned by TNA, I've still got to speak to yourself and Christy Hemme, so I'm happy.
Wonderful. Well, you know what? Maybe there's some kind of like redheaded loophole that you found in TNA.
No, with Christy, I went through her music band manager. That's how I got Christy on her show.
Very cool.
But she was lovely. So yeah, Bound for Glory was fantastic. Like I said, I flew there from England. I had a great time. Now, one night, I do remember it was me, you, I think it was Angelina Love at the bar. And I offered to buy you a drink, and James Storm overheard me. So I then ended up buying James Storm a beer and Bubba Ray and whoever else was in the bar a drink. So my lesson for today is don't offer to buy a drink anywhere in hearing sight of James Storm.
That, you know, I think don't even, you know, mention the word drink around James Storm. It's shocking that you just said James Storm was at the bar. You know, it's weird. I didn't know he drank alcohol, and I didn't know he was ever at a bar. So he must have some kind of double life.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Philadelphia, like, the bar was quite expensive, so I didn't really hang out there. But when we got to the Ale House, that was good down there. Because over here in England, beer is pretty expensive to buy. For you guys, it's so cheap. I had such a great time, and I cannot confirm nor deny that I was drunk for quite a few hours at Bound for Glory.
I will say this. It's funny you just mentioned beer, because I'm not a beer drinker per se, but I there's a Blue Moon beer over here that I really like as far as a beer goes. I mean, I say like, and I mean as far as beers go, because I'm not a big beer fan, but Blue Moon's okay. But over there, I thought, you know, I wanted to do everything that seemed kind of English. You know, I wanted to have tea. I wanted to have scones. I wanted to go to every touristy spot. And being a huge, ginormous Tudors fan, I wanted to do everything and see everything relating to the Tudor period, which I tried to do when I was over there. But I wanted to have beer, and I remember I went to a pub by myself. My mother was with me one of the times, and we had, you know, the whole pub experience. I had beer with her. I had fish and chips. I waited the whole trip. I wanted to find a pub that really looked classically English to have fish and chips. And I found a beer that I had by myself one day, just out in the pub hanging out. And it was called Old Golden Hen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I had that, and I had Honeydew, and those were my favorites. And so I'm looking around Orlando trying to find that beer because it was so good. But, yeah, I had a great experience over there. And for Bound for Glory weekend, that was so fun. We got to, you know, not only do the show, which is fun, but because it's a whole weekend, like you were saying, everyone got to hang out at the bar. Everyone got to, you know, interact with everybody. And, you know, it's fun for us to hang out with fans, but it's also just cool to hang out with your coworkers. Like, you know, you said James Storm, you know, Bully Ray was there. Flair came out a few times, which, you know, can be, by the way, that's like the trifecta of, you know, just be warned if they're at the bar and you accept a drink, because my goodness, you know, Not many of the knockouts can hang in that group, considering, you know, those boys know how to put a few back. So, but we had a ball, and it was so cool to see you there, and, you know, fans from all over the world came out for Bound for Glory. So what a cool weekend.
I mean, that was a great weekend. And I remember at the pay-per-view, guard front row, and I saw you, and you had no chair. And I was like, wow, where's your chair? And you go, it's somewhere. I was like, where is it? And you go, I can't say. I was like, why not? You go, because it involved in a spot. I was like, oh, okay. I'll shut up and let the spot happen. And then you got the chair back. But I spent like the first half an hour trying to get you a chair.
You know what's scary is that whole pay-per-view, my chair, I think it was that pay-per-view, I guess it had to be if you're remembering that, because I remember one show, I guess it was that one, where my chair was taken like at least three to four times. And one of the times I was really freaked out because my chair was taken so often, then they gave me one of those like, because you know what sort of chairs they use in a match. It's like it's a steel, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's a trick chair. Obviously it's not a trick chair, it's a steel chair. But because my chair was taken so many times, somebody gave me like a chair, I don't know if it's from the stands or what, but it was like one of those really, really heavy chairs with like a big pad on the seat, and like it was just, it weighed like twice as much as a regular chair. And I was afraid to take it because I thought to myself, you know, these guys are nuts, it's the biggest pay-per-view of the year. What if somebody grabs this chair and, you know, thinks it's just not that any of them would feel better exactly, but this one was really heavy, so I thought, I'm really freaked out to be having this chair taken away from me and just, you know, have it go on somebody's head and just, you know, knock them out for days. So that kind of freaked me out.
This call is now being recorded.
Wow. It was really funny because during the RVD match versus Jerry Lynn, Lynn put the ladder in front of me, and I was like, crap, because the ladder moved forward. I thought, oh crap, I'm about to get beheaded. I mean, those ladders are pretty scary. So I pushed it forward, and that's what caused RVD and Jerry Lynn to splat on the floor, because I quite like my
head. That's scary. You never know who's going to come, you know, to get over in my area, or who's going to try to get a chair or try to, you know, rip a belt out of my hand. So it can get really scary. And, you know, certain things happen, like certain things are thrown. I remember I got hit in the foot with something really heavy one time. I don't remember what it was. It was a weapon of some sort. Usually I get away for matches that I know it's going to be like that, but it was something random, or maybe a belt, you know, something really heavy hit me in the foot and, you know, cut me open or something. You know, so just things happen. It's funny you mentioned that. We're talking about that because I have a bruise on my right calf. That's a really deep bruise, and I don't remember what it was, but I remember something hitting me the other day at the tapings. So, you know, my job can be a little dangerous sometimes. So having a ringside seat is great, but being that close, you're also really in harm's way.
Well, like, you bring up the tapings. I mean, your last week has been crazy. You had the boat tour thing, you had the pay-per-view, and you just take, what, 4 weeks of TV tapings? I mean, how are you still awake and not asleep somewhere? Because that's a lot of work.
Oh, my gosh. Not only that, but, you know, we had the TNA Coastal Chaos Cruise, which was hilarious and so fun, and I can't wait for you guys to see some footage from that. But, you know, that was for 3 days, which, you know, it's a cruise, so there were parts that were relaxing, but it's also, you know, we had some events, and, you know, everyone's hanging out, and, you know, just it's an exhausting thing because any cruise is, you know, fun time. When you get home, you just want to go home. Well, we got back on Sunday. We went right to the pay-per-view, right from the cruise, you know, the dock to the pay-per-view. And then, yeah, we had 3 days after that that were tapings for four different shows. So it was a lot of fun, but, you know, technically it was 7 days away from home and away for me. And, you know, yeah, I was exhausted. I think that last day I was really exhausted. And I get sick really easily. A lot of us got seasick on the boat, and I tend to get, like, actual cold sick. I mean, I was homeschooled, you know, I get sick very easily and lose my voice. So by, like, the last day, I was surprised that I was holding up as well as I was. I must have just gotten my second wind, I guess.
Yeah, well, I feel bad for you because I could not do 7 days away from home. I would be ill or going insane, but I do give you full credit. No, saying that, being locked on a boat would be pretty fun with all the guys from TNA, because I know how they like to party.
Oh, yeah, some events, kind of like the Bound for Glory weekend. We had, you know, some receptions, and we had a huge beach party. That was like the, you know, the biggest event of the whole cruise. And it was on the beach. You got to go to Bahamas breezes, and, you know, Flair was there, danced with everybody. We had fire dancers. You know, Karen Jarrett and I were carried under the fire, like a limbo kind of thing, covered in fire. And, you know, you'll see footage of all the guys dancing with the band, and it was so cool. It was an experience. I remember thinking about it because I kind of kept going away from the scene and sitting down and just kind of looking and thinking, this is the coolest thing. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I'm lucky enough to work for the company, but, I mean, being a fan, I can't imagine ever getting an opportunity to do something that fan interactive and to be dancing around with Flair and, you know, doing limbo with, you know, Mr. Anderson or AJ Styles or somebody that you look up to. So to me, I just thought that was such a cool idea for TNA to come up with. And, you know, the fans were really lucky to get that opportunity, and I was lucky to be a part of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, TNA, one thing that they're great at is being nice to their fans. I mean, like you say, when I found Glory, meet you, to meet Chris, all the people, I was like, to use a bad term, I was marking out like a madman, because it was just crazy to like that I watch you guys on TV each week, and then to be at the bar with you, it's like, holy crap, is this really happening? So I mean, that is one thing that fans should just love about TNA, the fact that they are so fan friendly, and great thing for TNA, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, and I have to agree, because you know, it's just I'm really complimented by the fact that people say that to us often, that, you know, it's such a fan interactive thing, and you know, a lot of the guys that plan it, you know, they deserve all the credit, because they come up with ways for us to keep it fresh and new, because a lot of it is, you know, repeat customers, repeat fans, however you want to say it, regulars, you know, a lot of us are friends with now, and we, you know, it'd be different if it was kind of the same package every time, and you come, you get an extra this or an extra that. But, you know, they come up with so many different ways, like a cruise, you know, like the UK tour, or like, you know, certain meet and greets that JB is, you know, so kind enough to do in the UK. And also, you know, just for Orlando, you know, NASCAR event, which is a really cool deal. You know, sometimes, you know, we did something that I thought was the coolest thing ever, which was we got the fans to come down the ramp to entrance music of their choice. And I was lucky enough to be the ring announcer and just kind of introduce them, say their name, say where they're from, and they got a video package and a picture of themselves coming down the ramp. I mean, that is the coolest thing that I think I've ever seen them do it. You know, maybe that or the cruise, to me, was the most inventive. So we have a really cool group of people that come up with creative ideas in that way.
You know, I am already planning to come to next year's Bound for Glory. I have no idea where it's going to be, but I'm already planning to come back, because I just love being around the wrestlers and being a fan, because there's nothing more fun than sitting down and watching out of wrestling. So I will be there next year once again to say hey to you.
Awesome. I hope you do. Yeah, I'm not sure where it would be either. I hope that it would be, you know, outside of Orlando, just because it makes it a little more special, you know, being it's the biggest pay-per-view of the year. You know, we love Orlando crowd, but at the same time, for a pay-per-view that magnitude, I feel that it's in a city that loves it like Philly did. So, yeah, we'll just love another beer. Maybe we can find some old golden hen and throw a few back.
You bring up the fact that TNA is often or does come from Orlando, and the fans are often saying that just from a visual standpoint, it would be great to have TNA out of the Impact Zone. Now, as someone whose job it is to kind of get the crowd psyched up, would you like to see it go on the road more often?
I would definitely. Like I said, our crowd in Orlando is awesome, and they're very loyal, and we've, you know, we know most of them, not most of them, but you know, at least a good group of them by name, because they're so loyal and they've been there for years. And but the fact is, you know, just to go to I don't even care if it's a bigger arena or where it is, just something different is just kind of nice. And yeah, you know, being somebody that's ringside and it gets, you know, the bird's eye view of how the crowd looks and how the crowd sounds, I think there's other cities that just really, really are craving that live experience. So, I mean, if you go to live events, I've been lucky enough to do some of these.
You know,
on the road. In another way, kind of a different experience, because we're not pressed for time.
Yes.
So those are really fun. But yeah, to do an Impact on the road, you know, more often, I think would be a really, really healthy alternative to Orlando.
You know, I would love to see TNA come to England and do a TV tapings, because they're here for a tour. Why not make it a TV tapings?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm not even sure of the exact dates of the tour, but I know it's, you know, they've got several shows, and I know that every time I've ever, you know, heard stories of how it went, everyone is always so positive with how, you know, the product was received. So, yeah, I mean, that'd be a cool idea. I know that to do any kind of Impact in any other city outside of the U.S. would just be kind of a cool, you know, just a nice way to mix things up.
Plus, especially if you have us English fans, we like to muck around with the wrestlers. I mean, go back and watch the Impact after Bound for Glory, because there was me and a bunch of English guys, and we got the most British chances going ever. We were chanting towards Bischoff, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" Whenever would you hear that from the Orlando crowd? So I would love to see TNA in the UK, just because you get the most bizarre chants.
Absolutely, yeah. And you guys, you know, there's just something special about the fact that you don't get to see it all the time. So I think there's that kind of, you know, there's that novelty of it in a way, because you don't see it very often, and it's kind of a new experience to see you know, every time they bring different people over there to UK too. So maybe the last tour have certain people. This tour, you know, see some repeats, but you'll also see some new stars you've never seen before. So, I mean, I think they try to keep it really fresh. And over in England, like you were saying, you know, that the chants are different. The chants are, you know, a lot more enthusiastic because you're just hungry for the product more, I believe.
I have a plan. What I will do, because next week I'm going to the TNA UK party. I will get JB drunk, right? Get him to call Dick Carter and demand that they bring Bound for Glory to England. That's my plan. That's my secret plan that no one would know about.
If anybody can get it done, JB will get it done.
That's my plan. I will find JB next week and go, JB, bring Bound for Glory and SoCal Vow to the UK. I think it might work.
The only two things you'll ever need. I mean, come on, what else could you ask for?
Let's think. Wrestling and SoCal Vow, what? Nothing. I think then I could die a happy man. I could retire from wrestling radio, happy man, after seeing Bound for Glory and yourself here in England. That's the plan.
I mean, we wouldn't want you to die, but I mean, if you did, what a cool way to go out. I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
Death by TNA and SoCal Vow. That would be a bizarre tombstone. Yeah. Do that. But
that's kind of terrifying. We're going to jinx ourselves now.
Well, touch wood. Hope not. But people might not know this, but you actually did appear one or two times within WWE. I believe, wasn't it in like a promo with Luther Reigns? I think.
Yeah, it was two different appearances. One was for, I believe the first one was for SmackDown. I get them confused, but I'm 99% sure the first one was for SmackDown, and it was Luther Reigns and The Big Show. It was right after WrestleMania. And yeah, they were kind of having just a Luther Reigns was making fun of Big Show, and he was talking to a big group of us in the back. It was myself. I forget the girl's name that was with me. Real sweet girl. She was there to kind of audition. Jimmy Yang and Nunzio. And, you know, we were sitting there talking to Luther Reigns, and we were laughing at his jokes. And then Big Show walked up and, you know, overheard him making fun of him. And so, you know, we were just kind of background players. It was really cool because Stephanie McMahon was the one to approach us to do it, which was like my idol at the time. And then another appearance was for WWEAuction.com. I'm not even sure if the commercial aired. It was for the Mrs. Cena short, which I still have, actually. It's funnily enough. One of them, I have a picture with Cena, and he's signing it. And he was, like, the most polite, nicest guy. And he also came from UPW, which I, you know, worked with several times as well. So that was kind of cool to have that connection. And, yeah, you know, we were very well received. It was a very, you know, nice, polite experience. And he was quite the gentleman. And, yeah, again, I don't know if the commercial aired, but those were the two appearances that I did do for WWE prior to TNA.
Well, you bring up OVW now. Of course, they've now got a link with TNA. I mean, how do you think that will benefit both companies?
I actually, when I first heard about that, I thought it was a really, really cool idea because I am, it's funny, my best friend used to do Randy Orton's website when he was in OVW and when he was coming to WWE, and I remember hearing so many good things about OVW because, you know, she and her friends would go to the shows and stuff and they would tell us about the product and about OVW and how that was the training camp and things like that. I remember how healthy I thought that was for all the guys to kind of get, you know, kind of recharge their batteries, some of them, and other ones to kind of, you know, get some knowledge and then, you know, train there before they come up to the bigger show. So I think it's a really cool idea. I think it's funny in a way that the territories, you know, such as a UPW or an OVW, that they kind of flip-flop between both companies. And I think it's kind of another healthy thing that, you know, people make such a big deal about, oh, well, WWE or TNA, you know, and I've never been that type of a person. You know, I'm very, very happy with TNA. I've been treated so, so well. I mean, it's been, I think, around 7 years now that I've been with them, and I couldn't be happier. But at the same time, you know, none of us are going to hate every stop. I can speak for myself only, but you know, none of us hate the WWE. Or, you know, we have friends that go to both companies, and to me, OVW being a former WWE developmental and now a TNA developmental, you know, school and facility, I think that's just kind of a sign that, you know, everyone's kind of working together in the sense that having a developmental place for both companies is a really, really smart idea, and it's only going to make the product better. It's only going to make wrestling better, and I think you have to look at wrestling as a whole sometimes and just go, you know what? You know, the more wrestling out there is, the better, so I support all of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a guy that watches a lot of wrestling, it's great to know that TNA now have a place where they can train guys instead of like just bringing them up straight to the roster. And, of course, now WWE have FCW. And I went there when I came to Orlando. And when you compare the FCW arena to what OVW have, you can see that TNA got the better deal because FCW, in my opinion, isn't that good. OEW has history of making guys like Batista, John Cena, Randy Orton. So, like you say, I think by TNA picking out a deal, TNA will gain big time.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool step for them. And I haven't heard too much about it, but I feel like, you know, it's only going to make the guys that are already there better, and it's only going to make, you know, the guys who would like to be there improve that much faster, and they're learning from the best. So I think it's a cool idea. And, you know, I've done a lot of shows over in the Kentucky area, actually, so I feel like they have a good group, good crop of talent, and I feel like OVW has, like you said, they've supported and produced a lot of really good wrestlers in the past. So, like you said, it can only be healthy and an improvement for TNA.
And also, on a personal note, I know that over there is Domino in OVW, and I know that Shelly Martinez likes to work with him. So maybe, and here's my grand plan, we get Shelly to go to OVW, and that's how she gets back into TNA. That's my plan.
My grand plan is to have Shelly wherever I go, because Shelly is awesome, and she's such a positive, you know, force to be around, and I think she's such a cool person inside and out, so I support any plan that brings her closer to hang out with me.
I actually did, when I was at Bound for Glory, I actually went to Brian Kendrick, and I pitched an idea about Shelly's return, because I was speaking to Shelly beforehand, and Shelly goes, I've always wanted to manage Kendrick. So I approached Kendrick at Bound for Glory, and he goes, yeah, that's a great idea. So maybe that's also another way to get Shelly back into TNA, via being a manager for Kendrick. See, right here today, we're having great ideas to get back in the company.
I like any idea like that, especially that involves Shelly, and especially that involves being a manager, because we were just talking about this the other day, a few of us in the back, we were saying that there's just not any managers anymore. And so as somebody who got to do that and is the biggest supporter of managers, I'm shocked and kind of disappointed that there aren't more. I mean, you know, you have Karen Jarrett, or you did, you know, that kind of, you know, she managed, you know, Jeff Jarrett, but also she was just somebody who didn't wrestle, who was more of a mouthpiece. And I appreciate that, because that's why I wanted to get into wrestling, and that's what I enjoy doing. So I'm happy to see any kind of managerial spot be filled, especially by somebody like Shelly.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The age of there being a manager is kind of part, like, gone. I mean, we used to have guys like Jimmy Hart, and right now wrestling just seems to be, like, down on it. I mean, that and tag team wrestling. I mean, if either company could get managers and tag team wrestling back on the map, that would be a big plus, because tag team wrestling and managers are something that help build the wrestling package, if you will.
I agree, but, you know, I think everything's cyclical. I don't think anything is really gone. Maybe it's just sleeping, you know, managers and tag team wrestling, and, you know, whatever era or, you know, aspect of wrestling that you like, it's going to come back. That's just what happens. And there's different eras that go through of, you know, okay, well, we're going to be, you know, more focused on, you know, clean, you know, athletic kind of wrestling, more technical wrestling. Then there's a period where they want to go to where they do sillier things. Yeah, you know, everything comes back. So I think that, you know, never say never as far as, you know, missing something from wrestling.
Exactly. Now, you bring up the fact that you've been in TNA for 7 years. You have been basically every single role in that company. I mean, you've been a backstage announcer, ringside person. You've been a manager. Which role have you enjoyed the most?
I think I would have to enjoy managing the most. I realize it's not something that you can do all the time because, you know, for example, my storyline went on for quite a while. But, you know, then when Sanjay was released, I, you know, kind of had nowhere to go, truthfully, and I was put back into the ring girl situation. And nowadays, I'm doing a lot of backstage stuff. I get to, which is really cool because it gives me the freedom to do, you know, some of my own little segments and stuff for the fans that they enjoy, like Pillow Talk or, you know, different interviews. But I'm also doing, you know, the Spike.com review, for example. Not a lot of people know about that. I mean, I think fans that aren't, like, diehard know about it, but the diehard fans don't even realize that it's on, or at least I haven't, you know, that's what I've heard so far, is it's more for fans that are just on Spike.com. And to me, that's an honor because it's being seen by people that might not be a wrestling fan at first. So it's kind of my job to do the review and get you to tune in to this week's Impact and tell you about what happened last week. So for me, that's a really cool thing to be able to, you know, do those segments on my own, but also to produce some of the commercials and live event kind of things that we've been doing lately is cool because, again, it's kind of behind the scenes that I didn't really think I'd ever be doing, but I'm really, really enjoying it. So, yeah, to kind of have longevity in the business is what I always wanted, and so far it's been working out really well. And I'm just grateful for TNA to let me do that.
And let's hope, touch wood, that they keep you around for many more years, because if not, I will personally be upset with TNA Wrestling.
Well, thank you. I'll have one grudge, at least from you, Chris Kelly. That's good.
Well, and you know, like now I'm famous, right? What I say goes. So TNA will now keep you around for years.
There you go. See, that's what we got to do. We got to get the Chris Kelly name, you know, with the stamp of approval to keep SoCal Val around. So I think my chances are pretty good. So thank you.
Now, I've got a few questions from Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. There's one question where it goes, ask Val about her thoughts on both the TNA and the WWE women's division, and if there was any indie stars you would like to see brought into the company.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I have to say that I'm always kind of wary to answer questions as far as the women's division, only because I've never had aspirations to really be a wrestler in either division ever. But I do at least appreciate that people wonder what I think about it, because I at least am there to watch, and I, you know, these girls are my friends and things like that. Of course, I'm going to be partial to, you know, obviously the Knockouts. As far as the girl to be brought in, I would have to go ahead and say Shelly Martinez, just because, you know, I've seen her in both companies and I've seen, you know, how positive she is and, you know, well-respected and things like that. So I think that having her around would be cool, just because, again, she's, you know, such a, if you ever meet her and get her approach to how she, you know, views the business and things like that, it's just kind of a very positive, happy approach. I think everyone could benefit from that. And it's such a cool, different look that she has. I think that would bring something to the table. As far as other wrestlers, you know, that are around, I've kind of gotten out of the loop of knowing who's who and, you know, where certain, you know, people are from and things like that. But I would definitely have to say my true blue buddy, Shelly Martinez.
Cool. I've got another question regarding Hardcore Justice and your interaction with New Jack. What were your thoughts on that?
You know what's funny is I had done indie shows with New Jack like years ago, and he was just the nicest guy ever to me, and I thought it's so funny because I hadn't seen him in a really long time, so I thought that was really cool to do that. To be involved in the pay-per-view at all was just hilarious for me, because it's just so, you know, I got more and more comments about that outfit, like more than anything I've ever worn, because it was so not, you know, the typical Val diamonds dress girly. So I thought it was kind of cool to kind of be somebody else for a day, and that promo was really fun to do with him because, again, he was always very polite in the way that he treated me on other shows, so I liked it.
I also have a question. Ask Val why she is in love with Harry Potter and the whole series and franchise and all that good
stuff.
Oh,
my gosh. If you have another hour, I can describe the wonderment and just thing that Harry Potter is to me. And I tell people that. Some people say, I don't really want to see it, or, you know, why should I see Harry Potter? And I ask them this question, well, do you want to enrich your life? Do you want to be a better person? And if you don't want to see it, hey, that's your problem. That's not up to me. But you're going to come to me later on in life and say, there's something missing, Val. I should have done something with my life. Everything's fine. I have a nice marriage. I have nice kids. But I'm telling you, something's missing. And I'm going to say, you know what? You didn't see Harry Potter. That's how freaking amazing it is. It's just wonderful. I mean, the complexity of the story, the characters, the completely different world with different rules, with different laws, with different customs and people and languages. It's just the most brilliant thing. And it's something I'll never get tired of. And I'm just shocked and thrilled that I have the opportunity to work in close proximity to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And I was able to see the cast in person, not meet them because I would just die. But I got to see them when they were here for an event not that long ago. And I'm not going to say I stalked them, but I kind of did. And I love everything about it. And if I ever get to meet anybody from the film, as far as actually meet, you know, one of the cast members, like maybe the main three, I would just love to explain to them how much I loved it. And I saw the movies in costume in the theater, and it's just amazing. So kudos. It's my favorite.
I actually got to ride on the Harry Potter ride when I was in Orlando. And like, thing is, I get quite dizzy when I watch 3D like movies. So I was so dizzy when I got off that ride; it wasn't even funny. But I did use the Dueling Dragons ride. That's what I used to wake me up after night out with James Storm. That there was my wake up call. And it worked, to be fair, because I'd go on there hungover, and then I'd get off the ride happy and looking for another day in Orlando. So it's always good.
That's shocking, because usually that ride makes you sick. So.
Well, considering that all I had in my body was alcohol, and I was pretty hungover, I think the alcohol got burnt off with me screaming. So it was all good.
Maybe that's it. Maybe, yeah, you got rid of all the bad toxins on the ride. See, Harry Potter cures diseases. Look at that.
Now, your fans can also follow you on Twitter, at SoCalValerie. And they can also go over to your website, SoCalVal.org. I believe you do kind of, don't you, those like monthly video chat things. Now, one day I will have to come over, right, and do that chat, because I know you, sometimes you do it with Shelley and yourself. I think that would be a fun time.
Yeah, right now, most of the, because SoCalVal.org is under construction, but most of the things you can find me on right now are under SoCalValStore.com. And in SoCalValStore.com, there's a VIP room, which is a monthly membership site where, you know, basically we all just chat. We get a group chat together via Skype every month. And, you know, I am everybody one-on-one, and there's some exclusive pictures in there. And just, you know, it's really just kind of a cool little interactive thing you can do every month with me. So, yeah, check it out, SoCalValStore.com. And then my Twitter is at SoCalValerie, and I always put up links to different things I'm doing and, you know, schedules and stuff like that. So that's where you can find me.
I did try and add you on Skype, like, because you wrote down your username on Skype when I was in Bound for Glory. But I think you misspelled it, because the person that had your name lives in Paraguay. So unless you secretly live in Paraguay, I think you might have voted.
Yeah, unless I'm just international. No, I remember when I was writing it, I thought, you know, because I have ones that I don't use much unless I'm doing, you know, VIP room stuff. So I thought to myself, you know, what is it? And I always forget it, because I've got different names for different accounts and things like that. So yeah, no, I'm definitely based in the U.S. I promise.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't secretly have a Portuguese twin identity?
Well, I don't want to reveal anything, but no.
Oh, I must say this has been the most fun interview that I've ever done. Just so relaxed and chilled out. It's great.
Well, wonderful. I'm so glad that we got to talk to each other, and I appreciate you know, being a guest. And yeah, man. Good times. We'll have to do the BFG weekend all over again.
Well, I've got 10 months to earn my wages to come over there, and this time I won't lose my wallet. And because of one night in the hotel, which is never smart, I was there with, it was me, James, and someone else, and I left my wallet on the side, and when I came back, the money was gone, so someone got drunk at my expense. So the moral of the story, right, is don't leave your wallet anywhere near James Storm and a bar. Once again,
or don't go near James Storm in a bar. That's also good advice. Unless you want your liver to be just beat up.
Well, I think Ric Flair beats him in that, because this is one last story. When I went to the Impact taping, somehow, okay, Ric Flair was involved in the last segment of the night. He somehow beat me back to the bar. I was impressed. I have no idea how he did that. Because I left before he did, yet somehow he beat me back to the bar. I was quite impressed.
That's my nature boy, Ric Flair. He's a legend for many, many reasons, including that one.
Oh, very cool. Now, before I let you go, can I get a quick liner for the show? Because the one we did in Bound for Glory, Vince Russo destroyed. Kinda.
Sure, absolutely.
So basically, say who you are, and it's running the ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
So my name, and then running the ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network?
Yes, yes, yes.
You're listening to it, right? You're listening to
yeah.
Running the ropes?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
All right. Hey, guys, it's the Princess of Pro Wrestling, SoCalVal, and you are listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Like a pro, and there's no Vince Russo to destroy my liner. Fantastic. So,
thank you so much, Chris. You have a great Christmas.
Same to you. And I will tweet you the archive to the show so we can get word out about it.
Absolutely. I sure will. You guys have a good holiday.
Same to you. See you, Val.
Okay, bye-bye.
And that was SoCalVal from TNA Wrestling. That, for me, was a personally fun interview. Be sure to follow her on Twitter at SoCalValerie. Follow me, H2H Cruddy, on Twitter. And for now, that's my time up, and I will see you guys around.